Well, we're looking at the teaching we had started on the life of Christ. We spent the first two teachings really is dealing with what it was like during that time. Just interesting to say, there's a thing was just on TV. I don't know what is it. What do you know? What channel that was? That was on that Kevin Costner. Yeah, well, Kevin Costner, they did a thing that was done about the birth of Christ, and really it deals mostly with the history of the time period. And they really go into a lot of detail, a lot of things about the history, which was really good, about what it would have been like at that time and different things, which we really didn't have all the time to hear to go through about it, which would be really good to see, because there's a lot of things that were worse than I talked about. And they talk about it in there, about dealing with that time period going on, what it was like and going on. Because we've sort of made the birth of Christ into a fanciful story that really wasn't, you know, because the Bible just, you know, tells us, you know, about the thing that happened about the child being born. But what really was like during those time periods and that stuff and going on is, you know, when you get into the things like with Mary, with the Jews, and number one, just the Jews themselves, a young woman having a baby out of board, you know, wedlock, could most likely be stoned. We don't, you know, when we talk about here in stuff of what we do, really doesn't give an idea of what happened at the time and things. But looking at the life of Christ, if we look at his whole life from the things from the beginning to the end that are shown to us that we see have a history of, it wasn't easy for him even from the standpoint of ministry-wise. It was always opposition, just because people, as we look into this, we're going to find out that even though him doing miracles and people liked the miracles, they didn't necessarily want to follow after him at all. You know, if we would go up and look at, and which we will at, over time, is Capernaum. Capernaum, according to Scripture, we look at, is noted the most miracles took place there, but yet he pronounced a curse on them because they rejected him. Oh, they wanted the miracles. There's a lot of people today, they're like that. They want the miracles. I mean, over time, I've been in places and meetings, and like with Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I've watched and stuff, people, you know, they want a miracle. But they really don't want Jesus. They want the miracle. Yeah, you know, I want a healing. I want a deliverance. I want God to do something. I want something, but I'm not going to really follow him. You're asking too much now of that. You know, it's, let's not get this thing too serious. There's a lot of that goes on. And understand what Jesus pronounced a curse on Capernaum, and he never ministered there again. You know, like people don't realize, you read the Bible and find out going on, he pronounced a curse on three different places, and those three different places he never went back and ministered again. And we need to, there's principles that follow here. You can't just accept what God has. You want his gifts, but you don't want him. Because if you don't want him, you know what happens? He don't show up. See, we're told this, oh, God's loving. He's just, no matter how you act and what you do, he's just going to chase you down. Well, it don't happen like that. You know, God does have strike three and you're out. But it is not in American Christianity. It's only in the Bible. It's American Christianity has a different Jesus. They have a Jesus that just puts up with everything and everything, and he don't. And he didn't in any scriptures, but you know, you can make up, you know, because we have this makeup thing of love, and it's really messed up. So, but we're going to go in today. One of the things that we're going to look at today, from a scriptural standpoint, is Jesus being the Messiah. It's number one, we have to understand him. If we're going to look at his life, is what he was born into the earth, he was God's Messiah. And now, he was God's Messiah who was sent to the Jews. He was sent to Israel. Is we need this, Jesus Christ come in and he died for the world, but basically his ministry, in fact, he even told his disciples when he sent them out to minister and anoint him, he told them, you don't go out among the Gentiles, you go out in the house of Israel. Jesus Christ was sent to the house of Israel. they had the first opportunity to him. They were God's people, and he God sent him to him, and now he was the Messiah. And we want to look at this is like we talk about what Messiah means. We have the name which we go by, I think, of Jesus Christ. Really, from a lot of the Gentile standpoint, and even today, most people probably, you know, Jesus was his first name and last name was Christ. You know, that's what most people don't have any more sense than that. They don't know. In Christianity, we use the term Christ. Well, what does it mean? Well, Christ is the Greek translation for the word, Hebrew word, Mashiach, which is Messiah, which is always printed, all people call Messiah. But a Moshiach was the Hebrew, is the actual Hebrew word. And so Jesus came, he was Messiah. So really the Messiah is really Jesus, his life, we could call this the life of Christ, would be the life of the anointed one. He was anointed. Now, he wasn't the only one concerning anointed, and we need to understand this as we look in here and study this thing. Because, the Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah, or some people could call it Jesus the anointed one, his name Jesus was, we pronounce the name Joshua, is actually what his name was, but if you announce it from the Old Testament, his name was Joshua. And Joshua's name in Hebrew is Yeshua. So we need to understand this as we act like, you know, he had this special name, but actually that name was before and was given before. So under the fact that he was named Yeshua, that wasn't something odd to people. But we need to understand this. There's a few people, and if you look at him from a ministry standpoint, of God's anointing on people, there are certain people in the Bible God named. Man, you know, parents had names for them and everything else, but God named them and specifically had to do about their mission and their purpose of what they did. So we have here with the Messiah. Now, when we talk about the word Messiah, when we look back, see, if you don't understand this and you get in and this is where you need to study the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was a number of times in people the term Messiah was used concerning them. So Jesus wasn't the first one. And so if we look at this thing, in fact, in the Old Testament, 30 times the word Messiah was used. And it was used from the standpoint to describe kings, also priests, and it was also used from different patriarchs. Also, the Persian king, the word Messiah was used concerning him. Now think about this. The Persian king. We find this in the Old Testament. There were people who were not Jews who were anointed by God for things. This is hard for people to believe and understand. You know, people talk about this and they say this thing about, I hear people, you know, say things about, you know, that, like, and I'm just going to say this concerning our President Trump. People say, well, he's a Christian. But I want to tell you this, he doesn't know that, if he is. I've heard him personally. In fact, here not long ago, he did an interview and was asked about if he is going to go to heaven. And he said, well, I don't know if I am or not. I don't know if I'll be in heaven or not. He said, I don't know. We need to understand this, but I'm going to tell you what. The man is anointed by God. Now, this is hard for Christians to understand. Because our religious teaching, religious teaching, not Christian, nor is it Judaism or whatever else it is, isn't that people have their ideas and things about God. You know, God doesn't do things for this person or that person. We need to get in some thought in our minds, really is spend a little more time reading scripture instead of going around and quoting what other people have said. Amen. We have too much. And it's always been like that through history. People just run around quoting other people, what the other people have said, and people don't take the time to find out. And especially in our day and time, it is so easy to do a word search in the Bible. It is the most simple thing. You can go online. You can find out where something's used in the Bible. It's so easy to do. but people won't take the time to do it. You know, they don't find out. You know, it's just, you know, as I'm just big on the bit of, you got to take time to study and look at things. Understand, people translated the Bible. We have all these translations of the Bible. God didn't do all the translations. In fact, we don't know if God did. You know, men were inspired, but we need to understand this as we go along. There's Bibles and that stuff. You go out here in translations. Many translations, the person translates in the line of their beliefs. You know, you look at, like, I like the classic Amplified Bible, but the classified Amplified Bible, prophecy is preaching. They don't have the what prophecy is. See, they turn around, and because why? They don't believe, the translators, they didn't believe in the prophet's ministry today. So they didn't translate it like that. They translate it according to their beliefs. See, and if you don't study the Bible, this is why people go, well, I like this certain translation, it's more readable. Well, is it readable because it's accurate? Or is it readable because it's easy for you and you don't have to study? Well, you know, you got to answer a question. See, people do things, and this is why, is to sit down and take the time to study. Now, we're going to read some of these scriptures. In Samuel, we see here, in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, we're going to read concerning, like, you know, we look at concerning Saul, and people think, you know, Saul is this, you know, he was this king, and, you know, he really got off, and he was crazy. But we want to see something that David said. A guy came to David after Saul's death and said that he saw Saul on the mountain, and that kind of Saul asked him to run him through with a sword. He was dying, and so he killed him. And David said in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, and in verse 14, he made this statement. He said, it says there in verse 14, so David said to him, how was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? That word anointed there is the word Messiah. He said, Saul was God's Messiah. In other words, he was God's anointed, is what he was. Now, see, not every time the word anointed is used, it's the word Messiah. But we need to understand. See, we're dealing with a thing. When Israel asked for a king, God, there was an anointing on the kings of Israel. There was an anointing on them, specifically. If we find with David, out of David came, is what the Messiah came from David's roots. If you study scripture, you'll find out. So in other words, the Messiah, in other words, they were people who were anointed by God for specific purpose that they were doing. Now, a person can have an anointing and walk under an anointing to do a certain thing, to preach or teach. These people had a certain destiny of things were going to come out of them. The kings of Israel is what things were going to come out of. But here the word Messiah is used. Now, we have in Leviticus, if you go to Leviticus, the fourth chapter, we have here concerning the priests of God, and this is, we're dealing here with Aaron, who is the priest of God. The priesthood was set up. Understanding, Jesus is the priest of God. You know, he's under the order of Melchizedek. But we have in Leviticus, the fourth chapter, in verse 3 says this, if the anointed priest sins, brings guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. Now it says, if the anointed priest, that's the word Messiah. So these terms were used there. And now in that same chapter, verse 5, you drop down it, and again it's used. It says, then the anointed priest shall come and take of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. Again, that word is the Messiah. The priest is called Messiah again. And now in verse 16, again, the priest is called. It says, the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle of meeting. Again, it's made that, in other words, he is the Messiah. So in other words, he is anointed by God for a specific purpose to stand in for the people. So that terminology is used. In Psalm 105:15 says this. It says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. That word anointing again is Messiah. So see, this term is used as is Messiah. And we want to look specifically at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, We want to look at this specifically, this term. Isaiah 45 and verse 1 says this, "Thus says the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings and to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut." Cyrus, he says, here is his anointed. This is King Cyrus, a Persian king, is his Messiah. So that term Messiah was used there in Isaiah 45:1. So as you look through these, it's really important, you know, as reading through these, is to understand this. It wasn't till the 6th century B.C. when Daniel, in Daniel's writings, where we find the term then Messiah was used as an actual title of a prince who would come to the future. So at that time, Daniel, really, Daniel's prophecy, the book of Daniel is very important, really is looking toward the future, is understanding Daniel. If Christians, is one of the things that when God dealt with me years ago, talking about the end times, the Bible says God reveals the end from the beginning. If you know, and here's one thing about this is why so many people mess up in this idea about predictions and all kind of stuff, is because if God reveals the ends from the beginning, most people always look at the end to try to find out what the end is. That isn't God's working. It says God reveals the end from the beginning. And the Lord talked to me about that, brought that scripture to me many years ago. And He said, "I'm going to show you about the end times." He said, "Go back to the book of Genesis." Well, I found this out. The principles and the foundation of all that God's going to do in this earth, in man's time, is all in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is not the law. See, everybody looks back and they talk, well, you go back to the Old Testament, the law. I'm sorry, the book of Genesis is not the law. The law wasn't given in the book of Genesis. The law wasn't given till Exodus. See, Abraham walked under a covenant of promise. That's what our covenant is a covenant of promise. That's why Abraham's our father. He was a man of faith in promise. God promised him things, and so we need to think and walking in line with that. And so if you go back there, you can find things out about it. The book of Daniel is a very interesting one because Daniel was given real insight about the future. One of the things we find is Daniel, under the king of Babylon that he was under with Nebuchadnezzar at first time around, God really dealt specifically, if you read the book of Daniel, dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, God talked to the man and did all kinds. See, we have a heart. You know, God used sinners to save the Jews because the Jews were so stupid they were destroying themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I think God might have sent Trump to save the church because they're too stupid to save themselves. It's good preaching. You see, God, you know, everybody gets so, now understand this. I mean, we deal with people. There's prophets in the Bible who were actually prophets of God, who were not Jews, are in the Bible. It's just, the church don't bother to look at that study. We just get over in our things. One of the things, God uses people, and He chooses whom He chooses. He never asks us whom we choose. Oh, man, America thinks we're the best thing and there is to slice bread because we got to vote. Hey, we've chosen, and man, have we messed up time and time again. So, we need to get over and think about some of this stuff because, you know, this is why to know the will of God is really important and understanding how God operates, understanding how He does, finding out what He wants and what He's going to do, and quit asking Him all the time to do what we want done. This is why we end up, you know, Israel, we want a king. God said, I don't want you to have a king. We want a king. Okay, have it. And you know what? He'd ended up a mess for them. He let them have what they wanted. See, it would have been better to ask God what he wanted. Say, hey, God. See, this is why, you know, lots of times we think we're smart. We think we know a lot. And I found out, you know, when it comes to God, I don't know much. You know, it's remember, we're learning in our space of time. We're dealing with a being that is so far beyond. And it just blows my mind that he accepted us. And he saved us. It's a phenomenal thing. And the best thing we can do is stay humble about this stuff.
Yes, sir.
Very humble. Say, why does God choose what he chooses? I don't know. I don't know what he knows. I don't see what he sees. You know. You know, it's just like we have this, like we have, like, you know, I know, like sometimes we as people, we complain about leaders and that stuff. But you know what? We don't see and know a lot of our leaders see and know. A lot. And we think, well, this and that and the other thing, and we don't know why they're making their decisions. And sometimes they can't tell us. You can't tell people everything. If you ain't learned that, you a fool. Mm. You're the top of the list of fools. See, that's why Facebook and all that stuff, there's too much said. Mm-hmm. Too much said. Too many people have said too many personal things. I tell you, you watch what people know about you. Because I'll tell you what, they'll turn around and try to destroy you with it.
That's right.
The average person today ain't honest. We need to face these things, and they're not.
Amen.
The average Christian isn't honest.
Yep.
They're self-serving lots of times. It's one thing, you're gonna walk with God, you're gonna run around and try to take care of yourself. And you know, there's things, and sometimes, and I've learned this over time, sometimes there's things I wish I didn't know about people. Sometimes God reveals things to me and I think, Lord, I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. We need to understand, it's not trying to, you know, we're just, you know, we're nosy. Trying to find out what's going on all the time and everything else. You know, you find everything about going on anytime. It don't help you become a better prayer.
No.
Not at all. I can pray lots of times better people than I don't know what's going on. Because then I go, God help. I don't go, Ed knows what to do. It'll be the helper. You know. In Daniel wrote about a Messiah. In the book of Daniel in the 9th chapter, in 2 verses here, Daniel did this. Really, this changed things because this became a revelation to Israel. Daniel's the one who had a revelation of the major empires during the time period. Daniel was sitting under a kingdom, and that kingdom that Daniel was sitting under, God told him about that kingdom, but showed him down to the Roman Empire, and an empire that would be like Rome at the end times, which deals with the Antichrist. And Daniel saw that. I mean, it's a revelation, and he got during those things of what's going to happen and what's going to go on. But in Daniel the 9th chapter, it says about this Messiah, where Daniel got a revelation here, and it says in verse 25, now therefore, he said, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to the restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be build again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, I've taught on this before. When you talk about these 62 weeks, this is talking about 62 weeks of years. A week means a year. Looking at this thing, Daniel got a revelation, and if you follow up from the time that Daniel got the revelation till Jesus Christ was crucified, the numbers here add up exactly to the year that Jesus Christ would be crucified. The Jews could have known the year the Messiah was going to be die for them. But they had this idea that the Messiah was going to come as a king and destroy their enemies. They didn't know who their enemy was. Their enemy wasn't Rome. Their enemy was the devil. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. That's what he did to man. Jesus died on the cross to redeem man from the grasp devil had on him, to turn around, and Jesus would have came and been what they wanted. Everything would have went on exactly like it was. Nothing would ever changed. Nothing would have changed at all. Man needed to be changed, and man did not have the ability to change himself. He couldn't. And so God sent this Messiah. And for Israel, from this period on time, they began to look for this. Israel began to look for this Messiah, this one that was coming. So it was spoken in the Old Testament. So as we look through in this thing. Now, when we use the word Messiah, this is one of the things you need to understand when you, especially we witness and talk to people. We have a Messiah. Christianity has a Messiah, but we're not the only religion with a Messiah. So when you talk to people about things, you need to understand in beliefs today in people that all these people have out here. Because there's many Messiahs. All of them have Messiahs. The Hindus, they have, Hinduism does, where we would take Judaism. Israel is looking for their Messiah. He's already come. But they're looking for him. And you know what? When he comes back again, he's going to come back to them on a really rotten, terrible, the worst time in the face of the earth. You think it was bad when he came before? That's a picnic to when Jesus shows up for Israel. Many Jews are going to die again. This anti-Semitism ain't going to get better. Things are going to get, the spirit, this comes from the spirit of Antichrist. See, whenever the spirit of Antichrist is in operation, you know, during the Second World War, we had three people that operated under heavily under the spirit of Antichrist. They had Adolf Hitler, we had Mussolini, and there was Stalin. So those three were operated under, see, all through history. We have in the New Testament, John wrote, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. It's already in operations. This is where people get around and miss it. We had a president, President Obama. He had a spirit of Antichrist on him. He was a liar from the get. He came into office and he said all these things he believed when he got in office. He did exactly the opposite. Why? He's a liar. He's like a devil. He's father. Now, we don't like to have that and hear those things in our age, you know, because, see, we're so, you know, we have psychology, you know. Oh, there ain't no devil. Well, those people already are children of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what the devil wants you to believe. He don't exist. This is all, you know. See, people are influenced. You and I are under the influence of something. We're under the influence of things. You know, you can be a Christian and be under the influence of demonic powers. Yield to them. You can do that. God don't. Just because you're a Christian, don't say you can't yield to the devil. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I ministered years ago in Moundsville Penitentiary, and the guys, you know, were Christians, spirit-filled, got out, got away from God, and committed murders and all kind of stuff. Well, I don't think they did that under the influence of God. Mm-hmm. Well, whose influence do you think it was? Demonic influence. See, we can be influenced by things. We can be influenced. It's today, much of Christianity is influenced by demonic powers. Much of it is. See, we think, well, how can that be? You know, how can that be? Well, they come along. Much of Christianity really don't believe the Bible's true. They don't follow along with a lot of it. You know, Christianity can't open up and say homosexuals are, God loves them. Yes, he does. He'll love them the whole time they're in the lake of fire. He don't ever quit. He's love. God's love. But they ain't going to heaven. See, people need to understand. You know, we live in this fantasyful world out here. And so, religions, and it's interesting because, you know, we have which a lot of people, the Muslim religion has an Antichrist. A Messiah they believe is coming. Their Messiah, we'll talk about it because it really gets interesting because we have there's different religions, the Druism faith, those, and there's a number of different ones. Buddhism, they have themselves one. There's a number of religions. So when you talk to people about the Messiah, it might depend on what their background and what they believe. See, in the one of the things we have this, especially from the standpoint of Buddhism and Hinduism, there's a lot of that intertwined in a lot of Christianity today. They have loads of it intertwined. See, a lot of people didn't. You know, the Beatles influenced Christianity so much greater than anybody, most people ever knew. See, they came along and they got into a lot of the Hinduism and that kind of stuff, and Buddhism. They got into that. Back in the 1970s, major denominations in the United States were sending their ministers over to India and those places to study concerning their religions and things. How do you think we got? We didn't get where we are today. All of a sudden, at the last minute, things just went upside down. This has been working for decades upon decades. For the past 50 years, the church has been working to head where it's right at today. A mess. It don't happen overnight. People don't get into this stuff. This stuff sort of started to open the doors to this thing. So they're dealing. So we deal is, you know, when I was in the service. Now this goes back in the late 1960s and that stuff. When I was in the service back at that time, you know, Vietnam War was going on, but there was a lot of Buddhist influence and a lot of people, younger people in the military and stuff like that. There was a lot of Buddhist influence in that stuff. You know, in the United States, the colleges and stuff, all this stuff was going on, you know. The peace, love, but a lot of it was Buddhist stuff was going on. I always thought about this. You know, I was over in India, and while we were there in India, a minister named, met a young couple from England, came to India. They were seeking enlightenment. And they said, we were talking with them. They said about, here, this is really enlightening and all that stuff, their religion. I said, really enlightening? I said, let me ask you. I said, how do you like the culture here? I said, you want to live like this? I mean, I'll tell you what a mess. And I said, you want to live like this? And they said, well, no. I said, how do you think? There's one thing that I've been in numbers of nations, and every nation is like their religion. You're like what you believe. That's what you're like. Mm-hmm. And their nations are like what they believe. You know, it's like, you have Catholicism here in the United States, and you have Catholicism in other countries, it's a different Catholicism, you know. Every place got their own stuff, you know, that they believe. Their culture dictates their beliefs more than Scripture does. Always. Their cultures. And I was down in Peru. They had a Catholicism down there going on. And I thought, you know, if the American Catholics were told to live and do what they do down here, I mean, they'd quit Catholicism in 10 seconds. What those poor people lived under and the poverty and everything they lived under, it was because of their beliefs. What they did. What they were taught. So these great influences. So we're out here among people. You've done understand. See, we can use terminology to people, but do we really know when we say stuff? What do they think of it as? There's one thing as Raymond, the guy who was who taught how to teach, was really good. He said, if you're going to teach or you're going to talk to somebody, first you need, if you're going to use certain words, especially we use religious words today. Most people don't know what they are. You use biblical words today. People don't know. What do people think when you say, you know, Jesus saves? What does that mean to the average person today? Nothing. Where does he say? Oh, what bank is he in? I don't know. He saves. What does he do? They don't know what's salvation about. What is it? They don't. We use terminology. It's common to us. See, I was raised. And really, when I came up back in the 1950s, probably much of America, you understood a lot of the terms and stuff they taught. Today, it's a totally different thing. Totally different. People don't know what words mean. People are not church. People who sit in churches are not churched.
Amen.
You know, most people think a church is a building. It's not. No church is a building. We call them churches. The church are a people.
That's right.
You and I are the church.
Amen.
You know, we build beautiful edifices with manure in the inside. I didn't use the term we could have used. But see, people need to understand this. Is what's a church? See, we want, you know, it's like when Jesus, he told the Pharisees, he said, you know, on the outside you guys look good, but he said, in your inside you're full of death. He called them whitewashed sepulchers. In other words, you're a whitewashed tomb. You're dead is what you are. And see, we have that. But people today, when we're talking to people, you know, we need to take time to explain things to people.
Yes.
We need to understand that of a society that we're dealing with. I found, and there's lots of times, I found out because of going to other countries, it was easier to preach to people in other countries than it is in America.
Mm-hmm.
Any place I ever preached or taught at is here in America. It's the hardest place.
Right.
Hardest. It's the hardest. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Americans think they're smart. They don't realize how dumb they are. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, they're dumb. The American church don't realize. I've learned this. I mean, I traveled around, and I'll tell you what. The first time I went on a mission trip, I just said to the Lord, do I have to go back to the United States? Do I have to? I didn't want to come back. And every time I went on a mission trip, I'd always tell the Lord, do I have to go back? I have talked to numbers and numbers and numbers of ministers, and they've said the same thing. Why? Americans think, we think we're smart, and we're not. We have to learn how much we need God. As many as are led by the Spirit. It don't say as many as are led by smart.
Amen. Preach.
As many as are led by the Spirit. See, many people get born again. They become a child of God, but they never live a child of God life. You can only do that by being led by the Spirit. Then you can live the God life. If Jesus Christ, God, came into the earth and became a man, if he had to be anointed by God and follow God to do God's will, then there's a good chance we need to do the same.
Amen.
That's right.
Because we have, in the church world today, most everybody's an Adam. They're not the second Adam. We're supposed to be the second Adam.
Amen. Amen.
And we're living like the first one.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying this to criticize. I'm saying this. There needs to be an awakening among Christianity about ourselves.
Amen.
Because you know what? God will help us if we will humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And say, God, we just downright need your help.
Amen.
The scripture says, without him, we can do nothing. Is that true, or is that just a nice religious saying? Just that we can say sometimes out here in a message, or say to somebody to make feel like we're somebody or something, you know. It's true. Without him, we can't do nothing. I know. I lived without him for 30 years. And man, I did a real great job. I was just doing wonderful. Well, I know this. I can't live without him. Because if I do, I will do what most Christians do, just revert right back to the life they lived before.
Amen. Preach.
You live by your wisdom, that's what you'll do. You won't follow God. Oh, you might have nice religious sayings and all kind of stuff. But in your life, you're actually living on that same place again. The self-centeredness, the selfishness, that's where I was at. See, I know when you get away from God, that's what you start heading to right away. It's all about me.
Yep.
And you'll sing the song with Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. I've done that as a Christian. I've had to stop, repent, say, hey, hold it. Well, I'm doing it my way. It's like, put the brakes on. Let's get this and get back over. See, as many as are led by the Spirit. And it's wonderful because, let me just say this to us, it takes the pressure off of you in life.
Amen.
We have today so many people. Like, I remember this goes, today it's higher than what it was. But I was reading a thing one time. They had like women in the United States from 45 to, was it 65 years old, were taking over 40% of the medications for, you know, depression and stuff. And I thought, gee, what is that? But you know, it's just like, we today, if you realized around you how many people are on medications mm-hmm. for depression. Mm-hmm. You'd be shocked how the percentage of Christians that are on medication for depression. Loads of them are taking medications for depression. Now, I'm not saying it's to knock anybody. See, it's one thing if it is, I mean, when you have from a Christian standpoint that the average minister doesn't stay in the ministry past 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's like now, across the United States, there's a great lack of ministers for churches. They don't have them. People don't want to be, they can't take it. Because, see, people get into it, and it's one thing. I don't carry the burden and the weight of it. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. He's the head of the church. I ain't. Mm-hmm. I know people want the pastors to be gods and do everything for them, but I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I ain't called to do it. You have a responsibility. And if you don't take it, I ain't taking it.
Amen.
If you don't look after you, Ed don't. It's that simple. I don't expect people to be looking after me. I don't. Mm-hmm. I have no expectation of that. I have a responsibility. God, you know, and it's why I find this. You can't get over. I lived a life of worry and all that kind of stuff about things. Mm-hmm. I ain't going back there. I'm not going back to that
Amen.
Life. I'm not going back there. It's a hard life. And this is why we're dealing with people. We're really dealing with a messed up people today. And there nearly needs an explanation. You know, why did Jesus die? Why was he raised from the dead? What was this all about? What was it for? Was it so we just get more money in our pocket? Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's one thing about, I know this, to have the freedom of not to worry or have, you know, concerns of life, that you're really free. Like, we talk about being in the United States being free. People ain't free in the United States. The United States is a country filled with people bound in sin, bound in everything that you can think of, worries, anxieties, everything going along. I mean, look up coming up to the last election and that kind of stuff going, all the fussing and stuff going on and that stuff, and the Christians were fussing as much as anybody does, and it's like, what's going on here? Wow. The worries and the cares of life. Oh, you know, we need to pray and ask God. Well, why? If you're going to worry, don't bother praying. Just go down to the bar and have a drink. You're better off. You know, take a sedative. Just because you got a pill from the doctor, it don't make it all right. You ain't any better off. If the guy needs to drink to get away from his worries, ain't any worse than the person who has to take a pill to get rid of his worries.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
preach.
Right. That's right.
No, but see, God, doctors are gods, you know, so if they give them to you, that's okay, you know. That's... No, it isn't. God, you're not supposed to worry. Be anxious for nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Don't have anxiety about anything. That's what the Scripture says. Don't have it. Mm-hmm. It didn't say, well, have a little bit. Is it all right? Get over it. He said, don't. It's written, don't have any anxiety. You know, that's a hard thing to read in the Bible, especially when you have it. You know, when I started off and I read that, don't have any anxiety, I thought, man, I'm going to have to change. It didn't say, but Ed, you're exempt. right. Didn't you see my name running there?
Yeah.
I was out of there. You're exempt. It says, don't be. Well, you know, I took it just as serious. Don't. It didn't say, well, I can get away with doing it because God loves me. And you don't know what I'm going through. And you just don't understand.
Mm.
See, one thing is I learned this. I had to quit making excuses for Ed.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, because that's what I did. I always made excuses for me. Wanda was my problem.
Mm. Get yourself together.
Yeah. See, somebody else was my problem. This one, you don't know what I'm going through.
Uh-huh.
You just don't understand. Yes, I do. I was a sinner, and I was living in sin. I know exactly what it is.
Amen.
You know, nobody could get saved for me.
Mm-hmm.
My life didn't change at all, no matter if people around me changed. I was still a dirtbag. And see, we need to get down to this thing as dealing with ourselves.
Amen.
Because we're dealing with people. We're reaching out to people out here. And most of our society has all this psychology in it. And the churches, the average church, preaches more psychology. I'm taking a spirit-filled church, preaches more psychology than they do the Word.
Amen.
And they make people feel okay when they're not doing good. I'm not okay. See, if I'm worrying, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't lay your head down at night and go to sleep, if you can't lay down and go off, you know, I can lay my head down and saw logs quick. And if I don't go to sleep quick, it's because I'm talking to the Lord. But I ain't worrying. We ain't going there. I know what it is to lay down and just your mind's every place but in the sleep. I know, and I can lay down. I can go to hell. You know why? Because God gives His beloved rest.
Hallelujah.
That's what He does.
Yep.
See, God gives me rest. And that's why God gives me rest. Because I need rest. You need rest. And see, we're living in this society today, and all this stuff is going on. We have all these things going on. People, it's like I said, was talking about, we hear too much. There's too much people are reading about other people. There's too much information, too much things. We get a little piece of this here, but we never find out the truth of anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing as I love about the Word. The Word is truth.
Amen.
And I have a place that I can go that is always the truth. It never changes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Follow people on any kind of thing in it. People are always changing. They're always changing all that. They're always changing what they're writing and doing, whatever it is, trying to please other people, doing this stuff, you know. If my life's, my job ain't to make you happy. One of the first things that the Lord taught me wasn't my wife's job to make me happy.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
It wasn't her job to make sure everything went well so Ed was happy. I was supposed to be happy even if she wasn't.
Amen. Preach.
I was supposed to be at peace and rest even if she wasn't.
Amen.
And the Lord taught me to deal. My life was my life. It wasn't somebody else's. I was responsible for it. If it wasn't working out, it was, Ed, what's wrong with you? And so, we find out, you get there. There is a great release in that. Number one, people in marriage have a terrible time because they too much pressure on each other.
Amen. Preach.
They have great more expectations on each other than they should. My job ain't to make life work for Wanda.
Amen.
I want to bless Wanda. That's what I want to do. But you know, she has things in her life she has to deal with. She's going to have to. If she's mad, I don't have to be mad.
If
she's, but see, we don't deal with it. We deal with this thing. We're trying to always, you know, there's things times we just need to ignore.
Amen.
We don't need to have the last voice in it.
Amen.
You know what that? We've all done it.
Uh-huh. Amen. Yeah.
We've all ruined it, didn't we?
Yep. Amen.
You know, we've all messed up a steel ball once in a while.
Amen.
We've done those things. But see, it's learning in these things. This is what I'm saying. These, understand about ourselves. We need. If you don't understand you, you don't know people.
Amen.
When we look at other people, and God, if we judge ourselves like we look at them.
Come on.
But where people are coming from, and this is an important part because we're dealing with people religiously, understanding where these folks are coming from and where they're at, what we may have to explain to them and know about them and that stuff is taking time. We don't really take the time to really build relationships and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, you know, I found this lots of times, people in marriage and getting married over time, that People really get married, don't even know, really know each other. You know, what each other? People date each other. Most of it's a front.
Preach.
We show people what we want to think, and then say, get married now. Oh, now I'm married. You know, we're married now. You know, I can now I can just be me now. Boy, and then things get ugly. then they find out what you're really like.
Yeah.
And there's things about, you know, we're in that dating mode and going together mode, and we see the ugly in people, but we overlook it, you know, because, you know, we're going through this little thing and we don't look and say, you know,
yeah.
You know, I've had many time people talk about, you know, their mate complain about them, and I'd say to them, I'd say, were they doing that when you were going together? I'd say, well, yeah. Well, I said, you married them? Well, I thought they'd change. I said, whatever got you that mind, they were going to change. Who are you?
My answer.
It's like, I thought they'd change. Now they live with you, they won't change. They're just like you. You ain't changed, and they ain't changing. See, this is one of the supernatural, is really, when I started off it in the Bible, is number one, God changes people. Because one of the things that is, when Wanda got saved, and I was going to say this, because she said, and I asked her why she got saved, she said, because I'm living with a different man. God is the only one that can do that.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
That's exactly right.
And God did that. I didn't do that. I could not have faith if it isn't for God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If He doesn't give me the word, I can't have faith.
Amen.
This whole thing comes to Him. And this is why with people, this is why we want to take people and talk to them about the Word of God. Because that's where faith comes from. It's not, you know, music, God loves you. Well, that's fine. That the words are in the Bible. But out here, you know, it's just like I was on a thing. Like a little thing, and it was a thing that, you know, you buy something and they say, you know, you fill out a survey on there. And the store, the survey was filled out. I thought, well, I'll do them one, and I'll fill that thing. So I fill it out. And then at the end of it, they have this thing about loving their store. And I put a comment thing on it. I said, I don't love any stores. I said, love is a cheap word in America. Love means nothing. You know, I love ice cream, and I love Jesus. Well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Most people say they love Jesus. They got done saying they love their dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they love this and they love that. I am so tired of hearing this, I love this and I love that, because it has, in Americans, it has means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love my wife. But you know, I don't love other women like I love my wife.
Amen. Preach.
There's a difference between this love thing. But when people just throw it out there with everything, oh, I love this. I hear people say it all the time. I love this and I love that. And I think, you know, as a Christian, how do you explain the world when you say love? You know what it means to them? Nothing. Why? What is love? What is it? I want a definition of what you're talking about. Or if I don't get one, I may not know at all what you're talking about. You know, I've listened to people married telling me how they love, they were cheating on their mate, but say, but I love them. Oh, that, yeah, I'm sure they buy that. Yeah, love is cheating on your mate. That's it. I still love them. You know, people say that. You see, throwing it, what they do, they use that term as a way to manipulate to get what they want.
Amen, preach.
Amen.
It's not used. It is not used to actually demonstrate it's what truly what you're talking about. That's why people throw it out there. They're trying to, well, what's the best word that I could throw to it? I really like something. Well, if I throw love on it, everybody will think I'm just wonderful and this is really good. And that's why we talk to people. We're going out here. We're in a world. We want to introduce them to the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? Religions copy. The Muslims copy the Messiah Christ. The Muslim religion was started after Judaism. And Judaism had a Messiah, so they picked up They just went and copied over to have one. Why? You keep your people in your group. This is what you do. You copy. Religions copy off each other. See, what we did here in Christianity, we went off of other religions and brought their stuff in to copy, to try to get their people in. That's what they did. They are today. Seeker-friendly come from that stuff.
That's right.
Seeker-friendly came, you know. We're going to be a seeker-friendly church. In other words, you can bring your dirt in the church and come here and you can join us and be a part of us. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, if you have a brother and he's immoral or anything, don't even as much as eat with him. Now, we have churches that are accepted to us. You can be any kind of pervert or anything else, and you can just come join us. You can be a part of us. See, I understand the world's like that. We want to get them saved. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're in the church, you're a Christian, and you're doing those things, the church is not supposed to be fellowshipping with you.
Amen. Preach.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand this. It's the world. You cannot live a godly life without becoming godly. And that is through birth.
That's right.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen any other way. Now the Muslims, you know, it's interesting how the copy of the Muslim religion, this is something interesting to learn about the Muslims. The Muslims have a Messiah, and he's called Mahdi. And it's really interesting if you find out about this Mahdi. He's going to come back when Jesus comes back. Yeah. We see, when we look at Muhammad, Muhammad said that Jesus was a prophet. He did. He said, in the Muslim religion, Jesus is a prophet. But I find it very interesting because they accept him as a prophet, but what he said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't believe that part about him. Mm-hmm. Well, is his prophet a liar? So, number one, when you talk to somebody who's along, and boy, we have in America here, we're loads of Muslims in America now. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. They're everywhere. You know, it's interesting where they're at. I said to Wani, you know, the other day, I was in the grocery store the other day, and I said, I will guarantee you, half of the people in the grocery store, I said, probably over half, I said, didn't speak English, and I said, I'm not talking about one national, I said, I heard so many different languages of people talking, I said, it was just all over the place. They're just all over the place. I said, we're walking around here, I said, you know, we got so many people around now, I mean, but understand, we've taken probably in 25, 30 million people over the last 4 years into our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go out here among people, what people believe and what's going on out here. But anyhow, they believe that Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, their Messiah comes back to get things straightened out for them. You know, it's... So when you talk to them, if you talk about Jesus as being as Messiah, well, see, they have an idea of Messiah, what their Messiah. So see, just to throw the term Messiah out is, you know, because they have theirs. This is one of the things we need to learn, just take people to the Word, take them what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to talk to people about salvation, we need to tell them what it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, Christianity does this. Christianity says, see, Jesus died to forgive your sins. That's why he died. You know, if you would have said that to a Jew, in which they did, don't mean nothing. They had forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
They already had forgiveness of sin. When the angel appeared to Joseph about Mary and the child, he said this, Jesus, what is he going to do? He's going to save his people from their sin. See, Jesus saves us from sin, not just some forgiven. See, we talk about forgiven. Our forgiveness of sin is totally different than the Jews' forgiveness of sin.
That's right.
And so we need to know, people need to understand their condition.
Mm-hmm.
Religion's based on this, is the fact that there's certain principles that you follow, then if you walk in them and you do good, you're all right. It's righteousness by works. Mm-hmm. I am not righteous by works. I was made righteous the day I received Jesus Christ. I was made righteous. That's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
I'm not righteous because I do everything right.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
This is why we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace and help in time of need. You only need mercy when you messed up. Mm-hmm. But we're told to come boldly. Righteousness by works can never come boldly unless it feels it did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you feel like you do everything right? But I want to tell you what, see, if you're righteous basically, and you own most American Christianity, you don't have real confidence toward God. You're weak in faith.
Mm-hmm.
My strength in faith is what He's done, not what I do.
That's right.
My confidence is in Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He's marvelous and wonderful. And He said, He saved me, He saved a scoundrel. That's what He did. I had no works that made me good for anything. I don't, you know, my perfection and your perfection is not based upon your works, it's upon your faith.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect physically. It does everything perfect. We couldn't. We don't have perfect knowledge. You would have to know everything to be able to completely be walking sinless. Not know. You and I don't know enough to be perfect toward God.
Amen.
You couldn't do it. I don't know everything about the Bible yet. I've learned some things over time and learned things, wow. But you know, there's knowledge. Well, you know, all the time I'd gain knowledge and say, oh my God. So that's what I was supposed to be doing. It's like, oh, so that's the way this works. Well, before that time I wasn't doing it because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? God honored me in the light that I had.
Amen.
That's the wonder with Him. See, religion's always trying to get everybody to do something, doing works. And if you do all this right, and you do all that right, and you do everything, then it's just like this. I'm one of the things that always drove me crazy about Christians, you know, and especially around ministers. And I'd get around these ministers in this group, and these ministers would always say, they'd say, "Well, you know, you just can't pray enough." And I'd always say, "Isn't it amazing? Our stupid God made a system we can't do." That we can't pray enough. Well, if I can't pray enough, then I shouldn't even bother doing it. Why bother? You can't pray. He made a system where it ain't going to work. You can't do this enough, or you can't do that enough. You know, some people are like, you can't give enough. You know, you just need to say, you know what? That's religion. This is people who are walking around down here in their works, talking about Jesus and ain't got a clue about it.
That's
right.
He's not their Savior. They're still trying to save themselves. They're still trying to... No, He saved me. I don't ever have to do it.
Amen.
He saved you. You don't ever have to do it.
Amen.
We need to portray something because this is... When we portray the Word to people, faith comes. Faith is what sets men free.
Amen.
To know the truth, that sets men free. Faith comes by hearing the truth. You see, it doesn't matter if somebody has a look-alike religion. You and I have the Messiah and the only ones. And His words, He said, are spirit and life. All the rest of it ain't. All the rest of it ain't. And see, this is why we need to become people. If we want people to come to the Messiah, we need to what Messiah we're talking about. And taking people, I realize that people, you know, people don't want to hear the Word. You know, if I come along and somebody says, "Well, I don't want to hear it," I say, "That's fine. I won't waste my time talking to them. They don't want to hear it." That's it. I ain't going to waste my time. Jesus told the disciples, "You go out here to a place and you go there and they reject you, shake the dust off your feet and leave." He didn't say, "No, go back there and hold a revival for them and see if you can change that thing." No, if they don't want it, you go. Now that's different today. People, the church world today, we chase people and chase people and chase people and chase people and chase people. And we wonder why it ain't working. Because we're out of the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our job ain't to chase people.
That's right.
We just tell them. Take them the truth. That's all. The power is not us. The power is in the Word. The Word.
Amen.
The truth. You know, I've had it ready where people come to me and they ask me about something, they ask me a question, and I just know they ain't going to want to hear the answer.
That's right.
And I ask them this question: do you really want to hear the truth? Do you? Do you want to know the truth? Do you?
Amen.
Well, it makes people think, well, do you want to know the truth? See, many times people come and they don't want to know the truth. They come to you, they're looking for somebody that is going to agree with them.
Yep, that's right.
Somebody's going to tell me what I want to hear.
That's,
you know,
right. That's right.
Because, you know, and I just say to them, do you really want to hear the answer? Do you really want to hear it? Now, I want to tell you this, we're all like this. You know, God has spoken to me things already, and I really didn't want to hear it, but He told me anyhow. So, but I found this out. He's right.
Yes, every time.
Yeah. It might not be what I want to hear. But understand this. The truth sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this out. Whenever I accepted the truth, it blessed me.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
God, you can't really... You know, the Bible talks about blessing God, and it says this. You really can't bless God. What are you going to bless Him with? What do you... He blessed with everything. You know, it doesn't matter. Life ain't going to go bad if you don't listen. You know, up in heaven, they don't get nervous because, you know, you had a bad day and you ain't going to do what's right. You know, the angels are still smiling, walking around, and they're just there glorifying God. They just don't. And see, we need to live and walk in this place of the wisdom of God. And I just encourage every one of you here is to take the time to really, and when I'm talking about taking time, live a life. You know, you could pray day and night and spend all kind of time doing things of in a search. You know, but there's something about a relationship with God. It's based on, you know, it's just like you get together, you know, if you have somebody who's really your friends and, you know, really close that you could get to, You don't sit down and try. You're not trying to work at this relationship. It's something that you have, and you're comfortable with each other. And that only comes from a life of faith with God. See, that's God. That's God. Faith is God. That's the place. Without faith, you can't please Him. When you understand faith, you and Him get together. You're in that pleasing place. You have confidence in Him.
Amen.
And you sit down, you know, I see people always pushing for answers. I gave that up a long time ago. You know, we talk about fellowship with God. Fellowship with God ain't sitting around and praying all the time. As we think about praying. That ain't fellowship. You know, fellowship most of the time we're doing is asking for something. Is that your relationship with people? Is that your close friends? You're always asking for something. There's times that you just get together and just being comfortable. This one thing is I like not in bed. Like I wake up in the morning, and like I woke up Monday morning, and the Lord just spoke a scripture to me, and just in the morning, waking up. When I wake up in the morning, it's a fellowship. I'm laying in bed. I'm not trying to get Him to do something, and He's not, and He'll reveal Himself to me. It's fellowship. We're not. It's not a kind of struggle to try to. Well, you know, I'll be honest. I am definitely, when it comes to knowledge and things, inferior to Him in those areas. But I'm not inferior in fellowship with Him. I'm His son.
Amen.
I'm not inferior. See, get that in yourself. Because if you have an inferiority complex with God, see, this is what people who worry and do this, they have inferiority complexes. They get into things, they're worried about things ain't going to work. Things aren't going to happen. See, people are praying and praying like God ain't listening to them. People praying and praying to God to help our nation, and they're praying like God ain't listening. Like we're going to force, maybe if I pray enough, I'll twist His arm. There's no fellowship in that.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
How would your friends feel you got together with them and you were just twisting their arm? All the time. Always trying to get something from them all the time. You know what happens? They say, oh, here they come again. I'm just going to tell you this. God does that. Here they come again. I know Him. Here they come again. Here they come. All they come is dragging their problems all the time. All the time. They've dragged their problems around like a trophy.
Come on.
Why? Because the church world today, if you're a problem person, they'll make all the ministry to you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In America, to have problems, oh, you're the poor person we got to always chase after. You're the person we got to take all the tax dollars and give them to. That's your identity, see that? There's no inferiority, hallelujah. Nobody gets to heaven is trying to do all this stuff that we're doing here. Let's live like heaven and earth.
Amen.
Let's live like God's on our side.
Amen.
Let's live like God wants to commune with us and He likes us.
Amen.
In spite of our squirreliness, He likes
Amen.
Us. Jesus died for us idiots.
Yeah.
He loved us so much, He didn't care what we were. It's what He could make us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a wonderful life. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank You tonight, Lord God, for Your great love and kindness and mercy to us. And Father, we want to, our desire, we want to reach people. And it's only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other light but Him. But Father God, we want them to see the joy and the peace and the love and confidence we have with our God. We want people to see how wonderful it is with Him. Hallelujah. Lord, You're just so wonderful. Lord, that we can go tell people about our good friend and master, Jesus. Our good Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. That we have one who rules over us and we want Him to rule over us. Jesus, You're just such a wonderful ruler. And Holy Spirit, reveal to us the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen. That He is so real to us. That He's so alive to us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. That He is so glorified in us. Hallelujah. Because of our joy to have Him.
Yes. Thank you.
What a Savior. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we want people to see who we're in love with. Not just go tell them the word love, but they see that we're in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're in love with Him because He's in love with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That we're one with one another. Lord God, only through that can we really love other people.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And I thank You. Lord God, that Your love becomes reality. Father God, that it's not just a word said. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus that blows the socks off humanity. Hallelujah. That's what we want. And so we thank You, Lord God. Thank You for being so patient with us. Oh, Lord, sometimes we're just a mess. But you know what? You don't quit. You never quit, and You're reaching out to us and revealing Yourself. When we call on You, You answer. Hallelujah. When we seek You, we find You. Hallelujah. When we knock, You open it to us. You're amazing. And we just want to let You know that how much we appreciate Your kindness and goodness to us. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just want to thank You tonight that You didn't tell people that You loved us. You proved it.
Yes.
You did it. Beyond the measure of the word, You loved us. Hallelujah. The word is little to the greatness of Your love.
Yes.
And we thank You for it all, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.